I like that message.
Good morning to everyone and to our guests. We're very thankful that you are here. last week I didn't get to say Happy New Year in person. It was neat to see everyone in Zoom, but that's what I'd like to start with in person today, is just simply to say Happy New Year. May it be filled with blessings for all of you. We're happy that those of you on Zoom are here today or on the phone. It is a beautiful morning here at Wellspring Church. And a special thank you to Eloise, Jeff, Sandra, Hope, and Rose for being here last week, for driving through the snow and making sure everything ran smoothly. It is a blessing that we have people who just care and work things through for all of us and help us out in times of need. The next few lines came from various poems. As the new year was approaching, I decided as a comforting time, during a comforting or meditating time, that I would put in Christian poems for the new year in my computer. And so then I was reading these Christian New Year poems, and I just started writing down lines. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a line, and then for some of them I will share my perspective or how I journaled about what I was reading. So, a new beginning, a new year. A new year, practice the presence of God. Psalm 19:14 reads, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." This year, trust God more fully. He holds the future. Well, May shared last week James 1:17. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Trust God. Offer your support to someone who needs it. We need to continue to reach out to those who are struggling. We need to help them see Jesus. We need for them to see the light of Jesus in all of us. Keep going. That was part of a poem. And it made me think of Jeff, who shared that with his small business, he was determined to keep on keeping on during COVID. Prayers were answered that he was able to provide a needed service for others, and he was also able to keep his employees employed. And I also hear his secretary felt blessed to be working as well. Focus on love, forgiveness, and peace. Kaylee shared about needing and appreciating being able to rely on the love of her family. And I hope that Kaylee feels blessed by how much her church family loves her. Keep growing. Notice the love around you. Eloise shared that at some times she feels very impatient. Perhaps this virus has brought that out a little bit more in all of us. Knowing that Jesus loves us and forgives us gives us the opportunity to begin again each day, sometimes each hour, and sometimes each minute. We can begin again. If we have sinned or feel impatient, we can begin again because God forgives us. James 1, 2, and 3, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let patience have its perfect work." Strive to be happy. Support what is right in the face of what is wrong. Look forward, live, and love. Psalm 119, 175, and 176, "Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." Become more aware of the goodness of God and give thanks. Pastor Chuck Smith has written that our God is a God of peace. It was man who initiated the war against God. Man is the one who rebelled against the laws of God. God tells me to forgive when I want revenge. God tells me to love my enemy when I so do not even like him. God tells me to do to those who are spiteful against me, to do good to those who are spiteful against me. I would like to kick them in the teeth. God tells me to turn the other cheek when I would really like to push them in their noses. He tells me to be fair in my dealings when I want to cheat. God's laws are contrary to my fleshly desires. We compromise our integrity when we fall back onto lying and cheating and gossiping and hanging around the wrong people, when we stop learning and living like Jesus. Seeking revenge in any circumstance only causes greater conflict. We've seen this, we've heard of this, and we've even experienced it. And so by giving each situation to God, we take a step back to figure out everything. Give it to God. We often get confused on our own and begin to worry. Only God knows the answers, and we need to trust him one day at a time. God began his work bringing order out of disorder. The beautiful truth is that God brings order out of confusion. Our Savior has the name Prince of Peace for a reason. God wants us to learn, trust, and recognize and live by terms of peace. God wants us to learn, trust, recognize, and live by terms of peace. As we grow closer to God, living in peace becomes the way of life that we choose to live. Peace with God will bring you the peace of God. As a child of God, your soul can truly not be hurt unless you allow others to hurt you. If you have faith in God and are a believer in his love, do not let what others share hurt you. 1 Timothy 4, 8 through 16, Paul is sharing with Timothy. For the physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift. I'm going to pause there. Your gift is such a blessing. And just this week, or since I've been here, the gifts I see have been amazing. Caring for others, calling others, taking things to dinners to people's homes, cleaning up the yard outside. Sometimes it's just a smile that you have, or a wave now that we have masks on, that you have, that brings joy to people. Do not neglect your gifts. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. When we live by faith in Jesus and in obedience to him, we will experience blessings in every way possible. Not only today, but for eternity. Exercise yourself toward godliness. We are encouraged to have the attitude of God. Trust in our living God, who is the Savior for all people. Paul is sharing with those who will listen that life is better as a believer and that we should not hesitate to believe nor hesitate to tell others this news of Jesus Christ. Know with God's empowerment that we are able to accomplish great things for his glory. Great things for his glory. Theologian Charles Spurgeon wrote, "But our God, in whom we trust, is a great God with a warm, loving heart, a thinking God, an active God, a working, personal God who comes into the midst of the world and does not leave it go on by itself. Although he is a stranger in this world, even as his people also are strangers and foreigners by reason of the revolt that men have made against their liege lord and sovereign, and yet it is still his word, and he is still in it." Liege meaning an older superior to whom allegiance and service are due. Spurgeon goes on, "With all the sorrow and care which Christian life is supposed to bring, we would prefer to have it to any other form of life beneath the stars." Dave Guzik writes, "Notice Paul's point, especially of those who believe. Jesus work is adequate to save all, but only effective in saving those who have come to him by faith." Listen carefully to the words on this Christmas card. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is the breath of life within us, the fountain that refreshes us, the grace that frees us, the truth that renews our minds, the way that guides our steps, the love that fills our hearts, the fullness that gives us joy. He is the breath of life, the fountain, the grace, the truth, the way, the love. We need to strive to be an example to all. We need to reveal our living God in our love and in our faith, attitude, words, and actions. We need to reveal our living God. Paul goes on to encourage Timothy, and really all of us, to give attention to those things in both his public life and in his private life. We all should recognize our God-given abilities. Those are the gifts we talked and thought about earlier. And we need to trust God as he is doing great things in us and through us. All of us are encouraged to give it our all, meditating on God's words and applying it to our lives. I so appreciate our ministry of the word time here at church. Sometimes it's hard for us to sit still. Sometimes our minds are wandering. But if you sit in silence and you listen to the Bible verses and the poems and the readings that are shared at that time, is truly a time that it's a gift, this time, so that we can sit and listen and meditate on God's words. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, by ascribing to all that was valuable in him to divine grace, but by the grace of God, I am what I am." It is God's privilege to say, I am what I am. And it is our privilege to be able to say, by God's grace, we are what we are. We are nothing but what God makes us. All that is good and is in this gift from God's grace, all that is good in us is a gift from God's grace. Paul knew this and kept humble and thankful in his convictions, and so should we be thankful and humble. Those who have grace the grace of God bestowed upon them should treasure and apply these heavenly principles. A humble spirit will be very apt to own and magnify the grace of God. David Guzik goes on to share, a humble spirit is commonly a gracious one. Where pride is subdued, There is reason to believe that grace reigns. Magnify the grace of God. Imagine if everyone did this. Magnify the grace of God. What would it be like? Take a moment. Ponder that. Magnifying the grace of God. Are we magnifying the grace of God? I'm going to share some instances, but then perhaps I will pause and give you an opportunity to share a way that you feel, perhaps your parents, your teachers, someone in your congregation, or yourself has magnified the grace of God. Maybe you would be willing to share that with us. How do we magnify the grace of God? Be kind with your words and gentle in what you say and how you say it. Look for simple, everyday kindnesses and actions to help others in need. It does not take courage and compassion to walk alongside others who are enduring hardships. Johnny Erickson and Pat Verbal wrote in one of their books, "It is only when we admit our own brokenness that we are able to truly extend God's love to others and see lives transformed." Sometimes people are going to be rude. Let it go. I was thinking about breaking into that song from Disney, "Let it go," but I won't. But let it go. Keep a calm spirit. Respond to others in grace or walk away. Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Would anyone like to share how we can magnify the grace of God, or an example that you've seen?
I have an interesting story along those lines. I'll try to be brief, but I never knew this about my mother. Back when my father was a child, infant, his parents lived in Plainsville, Mine Hill Road. And a family moved in next door with like four small children, and they were renting above a garage. Mm-hmm. They just had like a little wooden stove. My father's parents watched them, and they came out of the house and were helping them move, and then they realized they were hungry, it was late, and brought them into the home and fed them, and then they were not Christian. So spoke to them about Jesus, invited them to church the next day. They came to church. They stayed in that church. Eventually, years passed by. They started a Bible study for a youth group where my father, then a teenager, met my mother. Wow. So if they had not extended that grace, that family would have never flourished in the community, and my parents probably never would. I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Well, we're happy that occurred.
It
is amazing.
So I thought it was an amazing story, so I thought I'd take the time.
I like that. Thank you. Magnifying the grace of God.
When I was growing up, my mother used to always ask me to, and usually the girls, so my sister and I, said, do Christmas. We wouldn't do the Christmas or the, because she would take, and she would make two meals, and she would take these meals to the first meal was for one meal was for us, the other meal was for this fellow that worked with my father, that really, he was an alcoholic, he wasn't a Christian, but she would always take him meals, and she would ask my sister and I to take care of the meal that was for us. And it was always something that, you know, I was like, you know, why are you taking care? You know, really important. But I, you know, I look back on it now, and I'm like, you know, my mom just, and she did that to not just, you know, this person, but to different people, that she would just, I'm going to make a second meal. I'm going to make two meals. One meal is for the family, and the other meal is for, and we were a one-income family, so it wasn't like there was a lot to go around, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, I just, but it's always been a thing that stuck in my mind.
And people see God's love in you. May and Linda, your parents, tell us something about your parents. How did they magnify the grace of God?
Perhaps
here,
that magnification.
Amen. Amen.
I just would say that many times as a nurse, I would, and as a supervisor, I would be called into situations that I knew were not going to be pleasant to be a part of. And as I would be walking to there, I would be praying, please give me the right words to say, the ability to stay calm. And you would go in, and it would be kind of escalating at first. And it was always a blessing to watch them just kind of settle, work through the issue, and I don't mean to be tooting my own horn here, but, you know, many people would say that it was my calm spirit and my calm person who would be a part of that, and I know that that was just God working and giving me.
I know that you are very humble, and I know that you are very good at what you do and what you did. And again, God was revealing himself through the light in Linda's heart. And May comes and takes care of our yard work outside, and God is revealing himself and through May. And that's something, that's a gift that their parents, I think, bestowed upon them, turning to God. Back to magnifying the grace of God. Okay. Be there. Show someone they're loved. Be happy when the person is happy. Be sad when the person is sad. Be there. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15. Jesus became our role model so that we could become his hands and feet. The church is his body, and we are called to love and serve all people. When someone asks you to forgive them, do so graciously and without correction. Say thank you often. We practice this in my house. There's four of us in my home at this point in time, and we say please and thank you, and it just softens the whatever's going on at the time. It just, to be able to say please and thank you, it lets people know how much you appreciate them. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Take an interest in others. Learn about other people. Ask them questions. Listen and care. We are all to love people in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:3. Do not from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. If we fall short of all we can do for God because we are passive or inactive in our Christian life, we need to stop and pray and give ourselves entirely to God. Jesus warned against this passive attitude in the parable of the talents, where the servant who did nothing was severely rebuked. He was playing it safely. Pastor Alan Redpath spoke to this, observing that a Christian might have a saved soul but a wasted life. But no follower of Jesus should ever be content with such a place. Negligence of glorifying or using your gift of grace is basically failing the church. What an honor to share and model the gifts received through our salvation. We rejoice in knowing that through God, we all are saved. May we magnify the grace of God each and every day. Let's pray. God's mercies are new every morning, and his holy word is living. We pray for peace in our country and peace in our world. Help us to act with compassion and to treat others with dignity and with the care that they deserve. Cover those who are dealing with COVID or who have COVID, and those who are not feeling well, with love and care. Be with those providing aid. We thank you for your patience and your constant presence in our lives. We thank you for this church and for those members that are here and visitors that are here. You are an almighty God, and we are very thankful that we can turn to you in every situation. Be with us this week. In your name, amen.